So let's keep going. Overcoming in the evil day. Set yourself to overcome now. You see a warrior woman putting on, she has put on the whole armor of God. Every one of us should be doing a study on the armor of God so that we may be able to stand in the evil day. That's where that whole thing came from. I did not know this in 1983 when I almost lost my life. I was playing church like most of the church plays church. I was not progressing. I was not growing. I was staying a sheep. Pastor was doing everything. He was the faith giant in our home. And I was just this cute little, sweet little pastor's wife, just kind of riding along and in the background until calamity hit. And that evil day came suddenly. It was, there was no warning for it. In no time, I was very, very ill, and I was fighting for my life. It did take me a year to get the victory, but only because I was still so full of religious thinking. You know, I came out of Catholicism, and the big thing there is, you know, if you misbehave, God's going to punish you. I heard that in church. I heard that especially from my precious mama. She would tell us, God's going to get you. God's going to get you. He sees everything. And so I grew up with a tremendous amount of fear of God. And when this thing hit me, I was not able to go to God. I was not able to receive from God. And man, I'm telling you, I went through a complete character change in that year. I am completely different than I was before that happened. And now I am absolutely a person that is determined to overcome no matter what happens, even if I'm ill prepared. You know, in 2008, I had to have emergency gallbladder surgery, and I was not ready. Quote unquote, I was not ready. We always think there's a place where we have to be where we're always ready. Well, nobody's praying enough, nobody's in the Word enough. It's more than anything, it's a heart attitude. I'm ready to believe no matter what happens. Amen. It's not that, oh, I prayed 20 hours this week, I'm ready. No, it's a heart attitude. It's the fact that faith is alive in your heart and you believe in God and you believe that He's right there with you in the trial. He is the fourth man, like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. So I was not ready. And it came like a tidal wave, people, like a tsunami. And it took everything in my power not to lose my mind, not to look at the symptoms, not to run to medical doctors. It was pretty bad. And the Lord told me, He said, I said, Lord, should I go see a doctor? What do I do? Because I was experiencing some pretty intense symptoms. And He said, He literally told me this, people. You don't want to hear this from God, because it was shameful for me for God to tell me this. He said, what He basically said was, if you go to the doctors, you will not be able to handle what they tell you. He said, but if you will turn this over to me, walk on water, walk by faith, I will bring you through. And He did. As you can see, I'm here many, many years later from 2008. I mean, excuse me, from 1980. I think it was about 83. That's when it happened. Amen. So that's almost like 20 something years, Pastor.
Longer than that.
40 something. Yeah, because we were just starting in the ministry. So anyway, set yourself to overcome. Amen. Glory to God. I have a little quick testimony that I'm going to share with you in the midst of the message. As you know, last July, not this July that just passed, but last July, Pastor and I got COVID. And it was very intense. Very, very intense. And COVID is not something that you toy with. If you had COVID and you flew through it, glory to God, bless you. I mean, you are like the rare case of this. But in the process of me getting COVID, it's literally called COVID hair. I ended up losing almost all my hair. It was falling off in clumps. When I take a shower, the shower would be completely, well, not completely, but very coated with my hair. It was just coming off in clumps. My hair was everywhere, on the floor, everywhere, on my pillow. It literally came off. I could not even, ladies, you can relate to this if you wear them. I couldn't even wear extensions because there was nothing to hang the extensions on. I had big patches on my scalp. Pastor will tell you, my children will tell you, it was very alarming. And especially because I've been called to teach. And so I have to be in front of people. And, you know, I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't care what caused this. I don't care if it is COVID hair. I don't care if it's that hormone, DHT. I don't care. I don't care what it is. Father, you love me. You love me, Father. And you said a woman's hair is her crown of glory. So, Father, I am going to turn this over to you. And you are going to bring back my hair. Because your word says that every hair is numbered in our head. He's aware of every hair that he's put in there. And I said, Father, you will not allow your daughter to be humiliated. So, Father, I thank you that my hair is coming back. People, the miracle. That's why I've been wearing little wigs here and there, is because I had no hair. And this is now my hair. It has grown out. It's growing out. And the new hair is like baby hair. And I have more hair than when I first, before I ever got COVID. So that's what we're talking about, where you turn everything to God. You turn your life to God, your children to God. Right now, if it weren't for God in my life, I would be going insane because my children are not anywhere near me. They're on the other side of the country. And I would be going insane when the hurricanes are happening and hitting. And, you know, my son now is living with three roommates and all these things. I would be going insane if it were not for faith, if it were not for God. So that prophecy should have spoken to all of us. You never know when the devil is just looking. He is looking. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I live very transparent and I don't mind airing out my errors in front of you so you can learn from it. Like I would say about a month and a half before I got sick, the Spirit of God kept telling me, be careful of being complacent. Eva, wake up. And I would hear and I would say, oh yeah, I shouldn't be complacent. I should get in the Word. And I wouldn't heed it like I should have. But God was trying to warn me to heed, to understand and be alert at all times. And the trial came. If it weren't for my sincerity before God and the fact that in those days, Andrea was our only child. She was only like 4 years old, barely. And I refused to let any other woman raise my little girl. I refused it. I said, no, I would look at her when I would be on the sofa, barely able to lay there. And I would be praying in the Spirit. God gave me an assignment to pray 5 to 6 hours in the Spirit. Wouldn't it be better, people, if you prayed 1 hour in the Spirit a day instead of God giving you an assignment of 5 to 6 hours a day? This took me about, I would say, 11 months I had to pray that to get out of the trial in the Spirit every day, Saturday and Sunday included. God and I got a lot of work done in that time, but wouldn't it be better to be prepared and to be able to slough off the trial when it comes? Amen. Glory to God. I'm just going to share this. I'm led to. The Spirit of the Lord is just leading me to do this for you so you can understand how it looks in real life, in real time. Not this Thursday, the Thursday before, I started experiencing some issues with one of my molars. The same thing happened when we took Brian to Georgia. It flared up and it was extremely painful. And so, you know, I just prayed and I said, God, I don't want to go to any dentist here. I don't know anybody. We were traveling literally on the road. It took us 4 days to get there and it was very painful. But I got the victory and it went away. So I'm like, praise God, this is awesome. Well, it happened again, and I don't know why, but I ended up, what happened was the root fractured, that's what they kept calling it, The root fractured, and so it got very infected. The infection went to the middle of my palate. It was very swollen. I couldn't sleep. This happened two Thursdays ago, and very painful. So I went to town, you know, and this time, usually I'll get an agreement with pastor. You guys should be getting an agreement in your home. Call us. We'll get an agreement with you. But I literally said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, this one is between you and me. You know, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm teaching this message to your people. My goodness, I ought to be able to live this and prove the word that we're living and that we're teaching. Amen. And so I went to the Lord and I prayed and I said, Lord, I need your help. I can't allow this infection. I refuse to allow this infection to spread because I've heard some horrible things about infection spreading when they're in your teeth and your molars. And so I said, I put a stop to that right now in Jesus' name. It will not get any worse going forward. And so I went to three doctors altogether. They kept sending me to a specialist. And sure enough, they needed to extract the molar because the infection would not have gone away. But I'm here and completely healed. And we got a plan of action on how to go forward with my teeth and so on. But I'm letting you know, people, that it can be very alarming when the evil day strikes and you can run around like a chicken without your head, or you can settle down and follow this. I'm giving you the steps to total victory in how we've lived all these many years. Amen. And people that have followed this are also overcoming. They are doing excellent. Amen. So set yourself to overcome now. Make this mental attitude. We talked about perspectives. What is your perspective in the trial? Our perspective of life should be that we are always ready for anything. It doesn't mean you're looking for it. It doesn't mean that you expect it. Because that's negative faith. It's like, oh, I know the evil day is coming. I'm just waiting for it. No. You believe God, that God is with you. He's protecting you and that you get to live your life. He said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. So you live your life. But at the same time, you are aware that we're in an incredibly imperfect world where things happen all the time. This is not how God created it. It's a counterfeit world. It got turned upside down from what he gave to Adam. Man was never supposed to die. And we only end up getting sick and all of that and die because of sin. Amen. So God took care of the sin issue. Now we can live our lives. I'm not saying to go around fearful and waiting for the shoe to drop. Amen. No. I am just saying that we, in peace and joy, build your house on the rock so that when the storms come, you don't get wiped away. Amen. Glory to God. So set yourself to overcome now. Now, today, make the decision that I'm going to be from this moment forward, I am an overcomer. Amen. The only reason I came out of the trial in 1983 and every other trial is because I set myself to overcome whatever's in front of me. So set yourself, amen, if you have to. Otherwise, you're going to be like me for the first 6 months. It took me 6 months to quiet myself down because that's how much I was in a panic. I was scared. I was fearful. I was looking at all the symptoms. I didn't have a connection to God, not really. And I learned so much, people, in the midst of the fiery furnace. I came out purified in my faith, in my understanding of God. I read books. I read the Bible nonstop. God led me through this whole thing. It was remarkable. Amen. Set yourself to overcome. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, this is very serious and very important, people, because in 1 John 5:14, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes. Whatever is born of God overcomes. We are supposed to set ourselves to overcome if we are sons and daughters of God. Amen. God has a standard. He doesn't want us getting to heaven, you know, blind in one eye, you know, missing an arm because, you know, the devil came and calamity hit and, you know, our marriages are destroyed. All our relationships are in a mess. And we're sitting here going, thank God you showed up, God. That's not what he wants. Like the prophecy said today, he wants our faith shining. He wants us standing on our own 2 feet, waiting for the King of Kings. Amen. So I would challenge myself with this scripture. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. That includes being with the Lord for eternity, people. And I will be his God. Do we want God to be our God? And he shall be my son. What is all of this depending on? He who overcomes. We must overcome. There's nothing created on this earth that we cannot overcome. God raises the dead. We can overcome death. We can overcome sickness, disease, calamity, accidents, destructions. I could sit here right now, people, for about 3 months straight and tell you all the testimonies that we've seen. We were called to pray for people. God moved. We learned how to pray so that God can be free to move. And we've seen so many miracles. People literally on the absolute verge of dying. And God brings them back and they're running around on this earth, you know, still alive and giving trouble. Glory to God. So look at the scripture and meditate on that, please. Revelations 21:7. You know, should we be setting ourselves to overcome? You know, because if we're going to be called sons of God and we're going to inherit all things, we must overcome. Glory to God. Revelations 21:8. Now, this is intense. But the cowardly, those are the timid, you know, don't talk about that. I don't want to hear the bad news that's happening. Oh my God, no. You know, if we're like that, if we're timid, you know, cowardly, another word for being cowardly, is literally faithless. You have no faith. When you're a coward, you have no faith. That's not a good thing. When we don't have any faith, we're going to be afraid. We're going to be cowardly. Look at the other word, fearful. The absence of faith is fear. When we are afraid, and it's okay. You hear some bad news. You hear that, you know, somebody just sent a nuclear missile over here. Of course, all of us will react instantly like, oh my God. But then instantly you get a hold of that and you say, no, God is right here with us. The will of the Lord be done in this situation. Amen. So look at this. The word cowardly literally means not to have faith, to be afraid, and always timid, drawing back. We're drawing back. It is never a good thing for a child of God to be timid. We are to be as bold as a lion. Amen? So look at this. But the cowardly and unbelieving, and that unbelieving means disbelieving without Christian faith, a heathen and infidel. When we are not believing in our Christian faith the way God wants us to believe, not the way it's being taught in a lot of born-again churches around the world, but if we are not believing true Christian faith, like that of being an overcomer, a child of God, I've been made the righteousness of God, I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, all of these things, then we're literally being a heathen or an infidel. See, we got to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Amen. Glory to God. But the cowardly, unbelieving, and abominable, that means disgusting and detestable. Are we living disgustingly? Are we detestable? That's the opposite of holiness. We should be contrite spirits. That means that you are peaceful. You're settled in with God. God is your everything, amen? But abominable is someone that acts disgustingly and detestable. And then murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, people that deal in witchcraft of any kind, literally reading tarot cards, astrology, you know, all of those things, that is sorcery. Idolaters, anything that you love more than God is an idol to you. I'm going to say some things, please, people. We're getting at the place now where we've got to speak the truth to you. We have to. Without being afraid of, man, some ministers are preaching messages that are incredible that I don't even know I could teach. And they're calling their churches into account. It's incredible. But idols, idolaters, if God, or if for any reason you are called in an instant to leave, to move out, to leave everything you have behind, except maybe the clothes on your back, can you do it? Could you do it? Could you survive right now if you lost all your money? If you lost your job? What are we worshiping in our lives, people? Some people worship their careers. They worship them. Some people worship money. Oh no, I don't love money, but so anything that we love more than God is an idol. It's an idol. And all liars. Satan is called the father of lies. We all need to stop lying. I grew up in an atmosphere where exaggeration was very common. And, you know, one of my parents, you know, it's like, oh, instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm feeling tired. They were like, I'm feeling tired. And oh my God. And I have symptoms. And everything was an exaggeration. And I became that way until my husband started catching me. I'm telling you, it's hard to be married to this guy because he catches me and I love it. I love it. It's like the taming of the shrew. We all need someone strong to help us. We help our men as well. I've been there for my husband at times when he was a little shaky. A few times. We help each other. We are one. Amen. And so he would tell me, baby, that's an exaggeration. And an exaggeration is a lie. You need to speak the truth. Now, oh my goodness, I have been so trained that I'm very careful. It's like, if I'll say, you know, I went to the store and I just spent a bunch of money. And it's like, no, that's not true. I went to the store and I spent $50. So I'm correcting myself constantly because all liars, you know, the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, sexually immoral. Right now, there's the moral compass in the United States has gone out the window. It's a free fall. It's a free for all. I mean, there's so much, everything to do with sexual perversion right now. It's completely gone satanic in so many ways. But all of these people shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we cannot afford to have those behaviors anymore. The Lord is coming, and he's coming for the remnant. This is why it's so sad that these huge conglomerate churches that have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, you know, ministry has become a business to a lot of people. Pastor and I were talking about this the other day. Man, I'm telling you, I don't care if we had five people in our church, as long as we are all growing and staying close to God and we are being holy and we're able to watch over you. No pastor can adequately pastor more than 200 people. So that means in our church, because we're two pastors, it would be 400. After that, we're running into problems. We've got to raise more people up to help. But what I'm saying about that is that in big churches, it's very easy to hide. It's very easy for no one to know your life. It's very easy for you to live a double life if you want. But God sees it. So he knows if you're preparing for him. If you're the remnant, then you're going to go. Amen? You're going to go. Your name is written in the book of life. Now, there are some believers that are going to be left behind, and they're going to have to go in the third return of the Lord. So it'll be the second rapture, because he first came himself, and then now he's coming for the remnant. And people, listen to me, please. This breaks my heart. When I first found this out, it was way back in our old building. It was probably like 2000, year 2000. And God started leading me to study the end of days, Mark 24, Luke. All the Gospels talk about the end of days. The Lord talked a lot about his return. And I ran smack dab into the fact that there's more than one rapture. Do your research and find it out for yourself. The remnant is entering in through the narrow gate. That means your love is nowhere but in the Lord. You're going through the eye of a needle. The Lord said it's easier for a camel. You get a needle, how can he go through it? In the old days, they had the eye of the needle in the gate of the city with huge walls so the enemy couldn't penetrate. And what they would do is strip the camel completely, and the camel would go on all fours and crawl through the eye of the needle. Jesus said, enter by the narrow path. It is time to leave this world behind. All of these things, being afraid, is of this world. Satan is the author of fear. Not believing. We must believe. We must press on intuitively, instinctively. Follow the Lord now. You know, I don't know why, but the Lord is very active with me. There are so many things that I don't even share with you guys. It's okay. You know, a lot of it is for me. I try to share what I think is pertinent to you. But, you know, in the spirit realm, I don't go into a vision. I don't go into, you know, no. In the spirit realm, I'm very natural in that realm. I can go between this earth and there. And you could too. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God now. We are spiritual beings. We're not spiritually dead anymore. Now, don't go looking for these things, because the devil will come in and counterfeit. Be open to it in your heart, and God will see that you're open to it, and he'll begin to show you things. But I have been seeing the Lord. I've seen him now like maybe four times in the last maybe 2.5-3 months. And normally, he would face me. Very seldom. I've only seen his face twice, but not really see it, because there's so much light around him. You can't, all you can see, like when he would move his face, I would see some of his features. He's the resurrected Christ, so he comes in his resurrected form. But recently, I've been seeing the Lord, like I said, probably four times. And guess what, people? He's no longer facing me. He's walking in front of me, like maybe 10 feet. And he's got a pace. He's walking at a steady pace. And I'm following him, surely. And he's very strong. And he almost looks, this is how I've seen it. He almost looks like he's been working out or something, or like he's, or maybe this is how he really is, truly. But he's bulky. Like a warrior. And he's letting me see his strength. But all I can see is the back of him. The back of him, he's wearing a robe. And then something over it, like some kind of a vest. And he's moving forward. And he's letting me know, follow me, Eva. Follow me now. Don't camp out. Don't take a break. Now, he's lovely. He's not running, but he's got a steady pace now. And he's letting me see his strength. I mean, his shoulders are huge. Like, not like a muscle guy here. It's weird. He's letting me see I'm strong. You can count on me. Follow me. And he's leading me. He's trying to lead his church. And we're going to start speaking to you candidly. It's kind of like when you're in, you know, about to go to war and you're a soldier. They're going to speak to you truth. They're going to tell you the truth of what you're going to find, what you're going to encounter, so you can be ready and you can be strong. Amen? And so this is what's happening right now with the real Church of God. Pastors are starting to speak up. Some of them are getting a little carried away with the heavy hand, you know, of overdoing it, trying to kind of beat the people into their place. No, we're not going to do that. We love you. We've given you the word. We've lived the example so that you can follow, amen? But I'm telling you right now that the Lord is moving. It's so interesting, people. Before, he would show up and I would see the front of him. And now he's just letting me see his back and he's moving. He's moving. And he's letting me know, follow. Follow now. Follow what I tell you. Follow what I teach you. Follow my word. Follow the Spirit of God. Come with me. Follow me. He's taking us to a certain place spiritually. And we've got to be ready, amen, spiritually. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for that word. The believer's perspective of the evil day. Again, this soldier, this guy with a sword, that should be us, already a warrior, ready to, with our sword of the Spirit and all our armor on. And we're following the Lord. Oh, my God. People, this is kind of what I'm seeing. Thank you, Jesus. This is kind of what he looks like. Pastor, that's what he looks like. But not like huge in stature like this, but that's how strong he looks. And he's walking forward. He looks like he's maybe 6'1", 6'2", the way I've seen him. This obviously is much bigger, but wow, Lord. Wow. And I've been seeing him like this, like I said, it's been like 3 months easily. And this was before I even knew I was going to teach people. So it's not like I saw this picture and it got imprinted. I'm telling you, I've seen him. The minute the trial starts, this right here, people, is the most important thing. If you listen to anything, if you learn anything, please listen to this one. This right here will save you no matter what you face. Number one, the minute the trial starts, I must make the critical choice. I will either trust God from the very beginning and cry out to him, or I will lean on myself. When you go into a trial, it's going to be either I choose God or you're going to choose yourself. And what I mean by yourself is you're going to start to figure it out. Oh, if I go to this doctor, or if I take this medicine, you're going to try to figure it all out. Certainly, you may end up doing those things, but after you have cried out to God. God, and you've got to cry out to God. You know, there was a blind man that was sitting at the gate, and there was all this commotion, and he said, what's happening? What's going on? Because he was blind. And in those days, when you were blind, you were allowed to ask for alms, for help, for charity. And you had to wear a certain, like a robe or a vest that showed people you were truly an authentic handicapped person. And so this blind man was screaming out, you know, actually he was asking people and he said, it's Jesus. Jesus is passing by. And he starts yelling, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he was yelling so loud that the Lord came up to him and he said, this is what the Lord literally said. Here's this guy. He's obviously blind. Blind people usually have something going on with their eyes. And he's also sitting on a piece of garment on the ground. And he's wearing the robe that he has to in order to ask for alms. And he's been asking people for help. And the Lord comes up to him and he says, "What will you have me do?" Jesus, come on, it's obvious. And then the guy says, "Lord, that I may have my sight, that I may see." It was so obvious, but guess what? The Lord needs to know what it is you're asking. The Lord needs to hear you cry out, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of God." Amen? So we cry out first thing when a trial or bad news happens. If you get an astronomical bill of back taxes that you never knew about, that happened to us. We trusted, somebody recommended this tax guy, we trusted him, and he ended up getting us in a lot of debt because he didn't know how to deal with churches, and we trusted him. He said he did. And the IRS caught up with us. You know, and this was a while back, and it was a great amount. You might get something like that instead of panicking and saying, "Oh my God, we're doomed, we're done. Let's go borrow money. You know, we have a rich relative. They got to help us." Instead of counting on that, first thing you do is you pray and you turn it over to God. "Lord, this just came. You are my provider, Father God. You are Jehovah Jireh. And I'm going to trust you with this, Father God. You're going to bring us through. You're going to help us." And he will, people. He did us. Amen. So the most important thing I could ever teach you ever is when the evil day comes or bad news or a prognosis on your body, whatever happens, you cry out to God. Ladies and men nowadays, you know, there's some people that are coming into our country that are, you know, they have emptied out their church, their prisons. They have. This one guy stepped forward and confessed. He said, "Yeah, I was in prison." He said, "And we were sent over here. The only reason they let us out is they said, we're going to send you to America and you're going to go and do all the crime you were doing here. We want America destroyed." And this particular country hates Americans. They hate America. And they've released all these people. So now when we go out, don't go out without the Lord. As you step out your door, say, "Father, I thank you, you're with me. No evil shall befall me, Father. Your angels surround me." And the same for your children when they go to school. The same for your husband when he goes to work. You know, always pray. Pray. Amen. Cry out to God first thing. Amen. Glory to God. An evil day is X-ray day. Just like an X-ray shows what's going on inside of our body, an X-ray will also show God what's going on in our hearts. That's the thing, people, is that God can see into us. He can see the faith that is there. Amen? And how do I know if it's faith, Pastor? Because a lot of people assume that it's faith. And all they're doing is, it's called mental assent. You agree. You agree. Like if I were to tell you, "Do you believe that Jesus is Lord?" "Oh, yeah. Absolutely, he's the Son of God." Then why aren't you following him? See, X-ray, you know. I mean, why aren't we following him 100%? Why don't we start our day saying, "Lord, this day belongs to you. Show me how to live it." Why don't we? Amen? And so a lot of people think, "Oh yeah, I'm in faith. I'm in faith." And it's not. Faith is of the heart. You get so bold and so confident when it's real faith. Amen? Not cocky, because a lot of people are like, "Oh, I'm healed. And they're not healed. It's because you're mentally agreeing with it. Amen. So we want to make sure it's real faith, people. How do you know it's real faith? If you put everything on the line. Everything on the line. Real faith puts everything on the line. That's what we should have been doing all along. Like if we really got born again, if we really did, you put it all on the line. And you say, "Going forward, my life is about God. Not about my career, not about, you know, where I want to live. And I want to live in Italy. I want to live in the coast of France." It's not about that. It's about, "Lord, Send me where I'm supposed to be. Amen. See, people, I'm telling you, and I'm helping you. I'm not condemning anybody. These are things we learned. Amen. I mean, God yanked us first 4 years of our walk with God. We got back from Europe. I got born again and left immediately to go and study in Spain for a year. We came back. I was already pregnant with Andy. We were married, of course. And when we came back, we cleaned house. We got rid of everything that had to do with the world. We didn't know any better. This is what we saw in the Word, and we saw that we now belong to God, so let's go for it 100%. We didn't attend any parties. We weren't out being the life of the party everywhere we went. Family gatherings, we hardly ever went to anything. We went underground with God, and He built us little faith monsters. We're big. We're big in the spirit realm. Amen? You may look at me and say, that was not strong. You don't even know how I look in the spirit. Amen? The spirit, man, is what's important to God. So God, just like when you go take an x-ray and they say, oh, yeah, you have a little lump in there. Or, oh, no, you have nothing. You're clear. So does God see you with x-ray vision, and He can see if you're in faith, amen? If you're crying out to Him, if you're counting on Him first and foremost, glory to God. So an evil day sets certain things in motion for a true believer. When the evil day hits, you go into automatic motion in a certain direction. The believer will always operate this way in the midst of whatever evil day he faces. The first thing is he will cry out to God. That's the first thing he'll do. He'll stop in that moment. You know, you find out that, you know, Aunt Matilda just had a stroke. You stop. Instead of panicking and running, oh, let's see, we're the cavalry. You know, these families are, some families, they love drama and conflict. They all show up, you know, and it's, oh, we're the biggest, huge support. And man, with God, it's peaceful. You call one or two other believers that are strong. You get an agreement with them. You know, yeah, you don't have to get on any social media and ask prayer chains. And, you know, you don't even know what kind of prayers you're getting there. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of you. So when the evil day happens, first thing is you're going to cry out to God. Say this with me. I will cry out to God. That's the first thing you'll do. Number two, God is the most important thing to Him, not the trial. People, we have the tendency to make the trial the most important thing. It consumes us. That means it's important. I couldn't sleep. We owe $20,000 in taxes. We can't go. We got to cut everything off. We're barely going to be able to eat because we owe this money to the government. No. What's most important, Lord, is you. We have this issue that you're going to help us with. We're bringing you in, Lord. Can you see how much better and peaceful it is to walk with the Lord? When I had to, they had an emergency. They shoved me in because of the state of my gums and the palate and all of that. It was so swollen, I couldn't close my jaw. My teeth would not, it was huge, this thing, the infection. So they said, the only thing we can do is get you in here at 7 in the morning. I'm there. Pastor was still asleep. He goes into work around 8. And I got up, got ready, very peaceful, very quiet. I listened to the Word and while I was getting dressed, and I was just very calm. And I said, Lord, you have never failed me, and you're not going to fail me now. And I got in my little car normal. I mean, you know, I left very quietly not to wake up my husband. I left, and as I closed the door, I said, it's you and me, Lord. It's you and me. How wonderful is that, people? Excuse me. To face anything with just you and the Lord, amen? So for a believer, he cries out to God first thing. Second of all, It's not the trial that's important. It's God that's important. And then he will, number three, he will always turn the situation over to his maker and his God, who he's chosen as his only deliverer and his only option. I've gone through surgery just Thursday. I mean, it happened Tuesday, this last Tuesday that just passed. I had an intense surgery. I mean, they had to shoot me with stuff in my palate where the infection was. That was intense. It was intense, amen. But you know what? It wasn't that. What I hung on to is I'm sitting there on that chair and they're doing all this stuff and trying to get rid of all this infection and, you know, my tooth and extracting it and blah, 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 blah. I just sat there and said, Lord, you're my only option. This man is good at what he does. I know a really good doctor. And I went to him to get all of that done. I've gone to him before and he's wonderful. He's really sharp at what he does. Very, very clean, very knowledgeable, state-of-the-art equipment. And he did it. And I said, Lord, I'm not counting on this man. I'm counting on you. Jesus, you're my dentist. You're my gynecologist. You're my primary care physician. You're my surgeon. You're everything, Father. You're my psychologist. You're everything to me, Lord. That's what a real believer does. Amen? Praise God. I pray this is helping someone. Number two, check your perspectives. What are your thoughts and attitudes about the trial? About you overcoming? Whether God will even be involved in this trial at all? Look at this first picture. This guy has given in to the evil day. He's allowing it to swallow him up and just drink him up. He's going down. He's going down to the bottom. Or are you going to be this warrior who's got his spear, the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith, man? He's the gospel of peace is on his feet. Amen. He's got the helmet of salvation. He's protected everywhere. What is your attitude about the trial? Poor me, woe is me, only me, why me? No. You say, I don't care how this happened. And don't sit there and psychoanalyze yourself. Was I bad? Was it because I was cussing? Was it because I haven't been really reading the word like I should? We hear that all the time. When people call us to pray, pastor will ask, or I will, have you been in the word? Not like I should be. We hear it all the time. Let's start getting in the word. Amen. Glory to God. Number three, this is where we left off. The outcome of this evil day is completely dependent on me. On me. On you. Win or lose, live or die, it's all on me. I've been given the spectacular power of choice. So I must choose to win, and God is not in control of the trial or my outcome until I bring him into the trial. I must choose him. You must choose to win. You have to choose to win. I will win over this trial. I will get healed from this diagnosis. I will overcome. If we go to war and things start happening here in our country, I will survive. I will overcome. Me and our family, for us, including you, amen, we're going to win. We're going to overcome. Absolutely understand that whatever happens is on your shoulders. God does not bring sickness or disease. God does not bring calamity. He delivers us from those things. Amen. So if it's not coming from him, why am I accepting it? Then it's on my shoulders to say, I will get the victory. Amen. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live. You've got to choose. I will get healed. I will overcome. This will pass. And by the way, I had the surgery on Tuesday at 7 a.m. Around Thursday or Friday, I started to feel a little feverish. And I, you know, started to sense a little bit of swelling in the area where the infection was. And I jumped on it and I said, I will not have an infection again. In Jesus' name, this is cleared up. Father, I trusted you with it. I prayed and you and I are in agreement. I am healed from all infection. Completely left, like within a couple of hours. All the symptoms. It's up to you to choose. I will not be feeble. I will not be weak. Amen? I will not be overcome. Number four. It doesn't matter what I face. To me, to you, the only thing that matters is God in that situation and not the situation itself. Deuteronomy 4:9. You want God in the situation. Forget about the situation as the most important thing. Amen. Deuteronomy 4:9. Two are better than one. When you have God in the picture, people, it is better. It is better for you. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. God will lift you up, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. You don't want ever to be alone. Never, ever, ever enter any trial without the Lord. I can't tell you that enough. God has to be in the trial. Amen. No matter what. Bring God into everything. If you have to travel, Lord, I thank you. You are with us. No evil formed against us will prosper. We do that. We pray. We pray. We pray for everything. I love to pray. I just love to pray because I love to see results from God. I like to see God move in people's lives, in my life. Amen. We pray for everything. Why my God is with me? The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. Oh my God, people, take a picture of this, please. It'll last longer. The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. He is supporting you. He is your refuge, your strong tower, your safe house. Amen? He drives out the enemy before you. He cries out, destroy them. Isn't that awesome? That's why you want God with you. Deuteronomy 33:27. Amen. That's a beautiful scripture in a beautiful picture. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalms 27:13. Man, I'm telling you, I don't lose heart because I know God will prevail no matter what I face. And then for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Is your heart loyal to him? How are we loyal to our mates? We back them up. We don't cheat on them. We don't stray from them. We stay close to them. We are their number one ally. That's what we should be doing with God, people. Amen. This is a relationship, not a religion. Religion taught us that God is up here and we're down here. And oh my God, maybe one day in heaven we'll get to see him from a distance. No, he's right here with us. It's a relationship. Glory to God. So, how much of God is in you when the evil day strikes you? This is very important, people. Less of me, more of you. We're talking about God being in the picture. Amen. That it's more important for a believer that God is here and not the trial. The trial is not what's important. Amen. We give the trial all importance and we run around with a chicken without our head. And then we turn to the Lord when all options have been closed off. That's not good. That's why we want less of us and more of him in us. Amen. So that what the God that's in us, that resides in us, that's living in us, will be with us no matter what we face. Look at the scripture. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. This is what God's telling you about the trials. Don't look at the appearance of the trial. Don't look at how it looks on the outside, the physical part of it. Amen. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, God doesn't concentrate on, oh my God, you know, this world's falling apart. He's looking at his kids and what's in our heart. He doesn't get moved by what's happening in this world. We shouldn't get moved by what's happening in this world. We should be making sure that God is in our heart. Amen. That faith is in our heart. And then are you going into it carnally? Carnally means in the natural. Like, oh, I've got the bestest doctors, you know, and I got it covered. I've got 4 insurances. I've got it made. I'm good. No. Are you approaching things in the natural on your own strength? Oh, I can handle this. No problem. I got this. What, guys, men that are listening, what if some guy, some little idiot comes up and, you know, tries to challenge you? You know, are you going to posture and say, I got this, I can take him on? Or are you going to, in your heart or even out loud, it would be best out loud and say, God, help me with this situation in Jesus' name. What are we going to do? Are we going to trust our own? I've been taking karate. I can do this. I know how to use a knife. I can take it out of his hands. You know, no, you trust God. Or not trusting God first and foremost. What is going on inside of you? Amen. Fear is worry about what the enemy can do. Faith is confidence in what God can do. Now you understand why the Lord hates fear. That's why the cowardly, the fearful, the unbelieving, the people that have no faith, that's why God gets angry. That's why they're going to be thrown in the lake of fire, is because fear shows that you have more credibility and trust in what the devil can do than what God can do. When problems come, Jesus is always going to be the solution. And the way we make the Lord the solution is by faith. It's like, no, I got this. God's with me. I can more than conquer this thing. Amen. Remember, fear is worry about what the enemy can do. Faith is confidence in what God can do. Wow, that's awesome. I love this picture. Glory to God. And then be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The word dismayed means to anxiously look about you. You're looking around for the solution. You know, if somebody comes against you, you're looking around. What can I get? What stick can I get? What rock can I get? You know, how can I hurt this person? No. You anchor down into the rock at that moment. Be strong and courageous. Don't be dismayed. Don't look around for the answer. You have the answer inside of you. From there, God will lead you in the natural. He might tell you, once you quiet yourself down and this person is in front of you trying to provoke something, he may tell you, look, there's a rock over there. Pick it up. Remember David and Goliath. David was led to get those stones and the slingshot. Amen. You may end up going in the natural. He may say, go to that doctor. But first and foremost is God. God, you're my answer. You're my solution. You're going to lead me. So be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. People, if God is with us, what does it matter? At the end of the day, you must make your mind go here. Even if I lose my life in what's happening in this world, in an instant, I'll be out of this old body and in the presence of my God. What am I afraid of? The sting of death has been removed, people. We are not to be afraid of dying. If you're afraid of dying, you're not ready for the Lord. Because you got to put all of that on the line. It's like, Lord, whether I live or die, it's on you. I want to be here. I want to help. Another thing is, why do we want to stay here? To hang on to our little lives, our cush lives, our little items. Why do we want to stay here? If you decide to stay here and you decide to live, hopefully it's to serve the Lord. I just read the scripture this morning. It said, I have chosen you that you may go forth and bear fruit, so that you can go forth and bear fruit. That's why we were chosen, people, to bear fruit. So if we decide to stay, stay because you're going to serve the Lord. I have one question for you today. How much did you serve the Lord this week? How much did you pray? Did you minister to anyone? Did you reach out to anyone? Are you following any people up? How lovely were you in your home? How much did you comfort those in your home? Ladies, are you doing good to your husband? Proverbs tells us that she does him good all the days of her life. Are you doing good? Husbands, are you allowing your wife to feel secure and safe with you? We're supposed to be bearing fruit every day, people. So the wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked run. This is, again, people, the word. It's a double-edged sword, amen? It cuts this way, but it also cuts this way. The wicked run. Are we going to run if something happens? Some of us run when no one is chasing us. The wicked run when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Do not be moved. When you stand your ground, you're on the rock. And God is involved in the trial in whatever you're going through. Stand your ground and don't be moved. If Pastor and I tomorrow lost everything, where we live, you know, whatever little food we have in the house, you know, if all of you decided to leave and Swords was no longer, dude, I'm telling you, we would not be moved because God gave us all of this to begin with. He will replace it if he needs to, or he will lead us and guide us to a whole other life now. Stand your ground. No matter what you hear, no matter what you face, no matter what you see, stand your ground. Amen? I love you very much. I think this is the last one. Oh, we'll stop with this. I'm sorry. This is very important. Listen to this quote. Very powerful. Take a picture of it. I am protected by a power this world isn't prepared to deal with. Look at that lion. That's our fierce God. Imagine if we put our trust in the Lord, in Jesus, that he is like this with our enemies, that he is going to treat whatever is coming against us in this manner. That's power, people. This world cannot come back on that power. Amen. Psalms 91, I believe it's 1. Yes. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The Most High is a title and he is supreme. Shall live under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, shelter, and hope, and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare, from the trap of the fowler of the devil, and from the perilous pestilence. Here you go. He shall deliver you no matter, even if it comes on you, even like COVID came on us, but he delivered us from that perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. How does this all happen, all these beautiful, amazing, powerful, supernatural things? When we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. What is that secret place, people? In his presence. When we enter in his presence and we are connected to him by absolute faith. There's no doubt in our minds that God exists. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Look at this. It's a lighthouse. This guy is completely safe. He is not running around. He is standing right there. And the waves are tumultuous. And he is not moved. Amen. That's how we're going to be in this hour. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't let the trial topple you. But even if you should get toppled like I was in 1983, and I was not prepared, I didn't even really know who God was, I wasn't walking by faith truly, I still overcame. Took me a little while, but God brought me through. Once you call on the Lord, he will save you always. Amen. I believe it's in Romans, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. You will not be ashamed, people, that you called on God.